across Maya is a violent sickness altering the very form of nature. The people cower behind city walls, losing their connections to history and all hope of a better life. But six seasoned adventurers, Allegan, gnome sorcerer, Logoth, the bone-armed cleric, Mativis, Varana samurai, Nydia, hag hedgewitch, Ogan the Anvil, human cleric, and Ravi, half-orc magus librarian, will be called out of retirement to battle monsters and the sickness itself, speak with the gods above and below, and separate myth from truth. Join us for the Great Old Ones.
You guys are rolling for shit tonight.
Technically, is it the same day or is it a new day?
I'm not telling you.
Because it could be a four.
Oh, could it?
Yeah, it is,
it's a new day. It's at least been one day since you guys fell asleep. Jim, on the other hand, rolling brilliantly.
Hey, listen, my 12 is because I'm sleepy. Question, we're sleeping, does that mean our spells reset?
Yes, everybody's got their spells.
Thank you.
Excellent.
So, Ogan, you know, you start to get that familiar, like, dawnstone glow on the other side of your eyelids. And your eyes start to flutter. You start to open your eyes, and you're inside of it's a weird room. As your eyes adjust to the light, you realize that you're in what can only kind of be described as, like, a changing nook. You have two walls on either side of you, and they're made of a very thin, flimsy metal. Like, you feel like if you pressed your hand against it, the metal would bow. Like, it's a very thin sheets of this flexible metal. And just on two sides of you, there's, like, no wall in front of you. And the floor is kind of sloped. And there's a drain in the middle of the floor. And hanging from, like, a small metal peg that looks like it's been very shoddily heat attached to this metal is a length of twine and a kind of molding block of lye. And that is where you are.
Dudes, wake up. Wakey wakey.
Yeah, and you guys all... you guys all find yourselves in the same kind of situation. You're in these flimsy little nooks. They have these little pegs. Not all of them have the rope with the little block of lye on it. In this room.
Don't drop that block of lie.
And there's a drain in the middle of the floor. And you're inside of this this dawnstone room.
So you said there's no... I'm not penned in or anything? I can walk out?
Yeah, you can move around.
Wake up. Wake up, dudes. Wake up. And there's a door here at the bottom?
There is a stone door to the south.
Good. More dawnstone.
I think all our stuff's gone.
Let me shoot a lightning bolt at it.
No. All your stuff is most certainly not gone.
No. I just obviously check myself and make sure I've got all my stuff.
You got all your junk. All your gear is there.
No, but isn't it a bit weird we've still got our equipment?
I'll look through all my stuff, too.
You find all of your stuff and a ruby in the shape of a human heart.
And I'll just hold it up for everybody like, I don't remember touching this.
Hold on, I know what that is. Let me have that just for a moment.
I'll hand it over.
I'm gonna put it up to my ear and be like, hello? Hello?
I can barely hear you.
There's someone on the other side.
Bad reception.
So just so I'm clear, when I talk to mysterious beings from other things, it's a bad thing.
You lost all your magic. I did what I had to save the group. I didn't really save us, but I did something. Not bad. Hopefully.
Is the stone door locked?
Just checking.
Do you check it? Do you check the door?
Yes, I will check the door to see if it is locked.
Okay. Does not appear to be trapped. No, I'm sorry. Does not appear to be locked.
Logoth, try this shell thing. Maybe it's one of your friends.
Who, me?
Hello?
No. Oh, Logan.
Hello?
Who's this?
This is Logoth Dogslayer. Who is this?
Dogslayer? The demigod?
I mean, I'm not dimming anything, but in any case. Hands a bar?
Yeah, correct.
Knowledge arcana, knowledge religion.
Go for it. You're searching your brain and you're just not recognizing anything. And 23. Wow, you both rolled the same for knowledge arcana. It's hilarious. So, there's these things called thief lords. And thief lords is a council of supposed demigod, god, powerful enough that they could probably get away with being called god because no one would call them something else, but maybe they don't want to be called god because they don't like to leave those sorts of fingerprints, entities that are just referred to as, in a blanket statement, as the thief lords. They have a really powerful cleric whose name, he's just known as Hans, H-A-N-Z. Hans Zabar, Hans, there might be a connection there. Ephraim is kind of the pinnacle deity of the thief lords. That's about all you guys get, even with those epic rolls.
Oh, Hans, how you been?
I'm just trapped. I don't know, the plane of fire. So, you know, bunch of dwarves, red dragons. Tent. You know, not really good.
Wait, did he just say dwarves on the plane of fire? Wait, do we know? No, we don't know who she is.
Mm-mm. None of you do. Well, okay. No, not entirely true. In fact, there's a copy-paste note on that. Like I said, didn't expect tonight to go this way. Let me scroll all the way the hell down. Hold on. There's a legitimate copy-paste note. And it is Sor Logoth, so it is fortuitous that he's here. Hold on one second. That's a massive owlbear skull. We're like way down here somewhere. I really didn't expect this to go this way, which is awesome. Makes me super happy. Nobody else in reality knows that name. But you were removed, which is the whole story arc part. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of the point.
Yeah. The thing with the point. So listeners at home, if you'll recall, Logoth was removed from the prime material plane and placed in a pocket dimension due to incidents that have occurred over the history of the game. Once again, I've been running this game since the early 90s. We are in 2018. As you're listening to this, you might find it years later as the Neuromancers, you know, float through the deserts and find old shells of iPods where you might listen to this in some far foreign flung utopian society that I hope we eventually evolve into. As of current game time, the knowledge of a certain deity has been erased from the global consciousness of Maya. Except for Logoth, who was in a pocket dimension that was immune to that effect. So he's aware.
So Grendel is on the elemental plane of fire as well, correct?
No. He's in the beyond. But Jorgen is on the elemental plane of fire. Because that's where the Dreadforges are.
Are you able to get out?
Need a anchor point.
Alright, I think we can arrange something. We'll be in contact and find an anchor point for you.
Appreciate it.
So he was a friend of yours.
You're muted, John Michael.
Am I?
Yeah, the last thing you had said, I didn't know if you'd said something.
I put the, you know, communicator down. No, but I mean, it always helps to have a demigod on your side.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna just take our little cell phone and put it in my pocket.
Okay.
I'm gonna get out of this big rock candy mountain jail, right? And
I like when you're just stuck in Big Rock Candy Mountain Jail.
So, Ogun, the door is not locked.
I do want to say something real quick, guys. Like, a big place where there's a drainage in the middle of it, and there's a whole bunch of cells that don't really serve anything. Looks like a slaughterhouse to me. Like, I don't know what activates the trap in here, but I kind of think that it's a trap.
I was already going to say something to the effect of, there's lion here, so unless they're dehydrating us or trying to preserve our meat, this is probably in the pantry.
So there's the door. What are you guys doing?
So whatever is out there is probably awake, possibly hungry, and not quite sure what to do with us.
Yeah, I say we buff up and get back to full health for all of us before we go out there, because, I mean, I'm kind of anticipating a fight.
Allegan, are you still feeling bad?
No, I'm feeling pretty good now.
I feel like my spells are all good and ready to go.
I think I'm good, too.
Oh, I'm going to
pray real quick.
Pull out Thelonious.
Okay.
And see if I can talk to my bird.
All right. So Ravy whips out the sword, and this raven pops up, sits on the pommel of it, looks at you, and it's kind of as if a bird could smile. It's smiling. And a bunch of information starts to filter into your head.
Okay.
There is a sect of cultists who are proclaiming to be Solarians in Veronia, and they are trying to take over the city and completely convert the library in the city. They want to take all of the information in the library because they're looking for something in particular. What they seem to be looking for are a bunch of children's books, and they can't seem to find them. They've been sending people out through the city to almost terrorize all of the locals, all of the kids, all of the schools, and the only places they haven't gained access to are the Lord's Manor.
And my bag.
Well, yes, of course, and your bag. But yeah, it seems like there is a group of, and that's what Thelonious has, is like there's a group of people saying that they're Solarians.
Pretending to be us.
And they're transcribing every book that they come across, and they're taking books from children, and they can't seem to find a bunch of kids' books that they're looking for. And the only place that they can't get into is the manor house. And Thelonious has flown there and poked his head into windows and looked around and knows that these kids have a fairly sizable library, and they're very protective of the library. The Lord's daughter and her little friend are incredibly protective of the Lord's daughter's library because she loves her storybooks about folklore and fairy tales and doesn't want these priests to come and take her books.
Sounds like fairy tales are real.
So all that information just kind of bio-dumps into your mind.
Okay. I'm going to share that information with the party.
Okay.
And let them know that we should probably find our way out of here and back to Nydia as soon as possible.
I agree, but I wonder if they're looking for the duck and his friends.
Maybe Corduroy the Bear?
The duck. And it's, that was one of the books, right, that you guys picked up, The Duck and His Friends?
Yeah. I've read it a few times.
Yeah, let's GTFO, guys. But, sorry, I'm going to drop a... I'm going to change a inflict into a cure.
Okay.
And I'm going to drop that. For the sake of brevity, I'm just going to roll 4d8 on myself and add, wisdom to it.
No, you're good, man. You guys are like 2.5 months map-wise, like farther than where I expected you to be right now. This is freaking sweet. This is like a map I didn't think we'd get to in forever. This is awesome. Okay. This is so cool. What's the plan with the door?
Let's go through it.
I open it.
Okay. Boop. The door opens to a hallway. Well, it's an antechamber. It's not really a hallway. The door opens to an antechamber. Oh, God, this is great. Okay. So, Dawn's store door opens. It's a 30-foot wide. Well, it's actually a little wider now. Well, it's 30 foot. 30 foot long by 10 feet wide with a 10-foot ceil- or 7-foot ceiling. You can see that it kind of curves off sharply in the east. There is a large stone carving, much like the spearheads with the spiral mouth on it, that kind of fetish that you've been seeing everywhere with the gugs. And it's sitting on top of like this pile of crushed or shattered bone of various animals and humanoids. Very much looks like this, each of the skulls has been crushed with a type of hammer or deft blow. And then the bones have been broken in a way that you would be used to seeing them broken in, like, a slaughterhouse sort of setting.
How big is the talisman? Is it, it's 10 feet wide?
Well, the ceiling is 7 foot tall. Mm-hmm. So the talisman at its base is about 8 foot, and it goes up to almost where it's touching the ceiling. So it's about six and a quarter, six and a half, somewhere in there.
And you said there are no other doors in the room?
It just goes around a corner over to the east.
I know I'm not Mr. Stealth, but I'm going to go to about here and kind of peek around the corner.
Okay.
Let's take a look, make sure we're not walking into Gug City.
The first thing that hits you is the smell. The room is large. It has these pillars. Well, first thing you notice is there's a circular pattern on the floor, but it's been worn down, so you feel like you need to study that more if you're trying to figure out what exactly the pattern is. But then it has these pillars that support a domed ceiling. And each of the pillars has been wrapped in a collection of, like, brambles that look like they're made out of, like, a dried organic substance. You want to throw me a heal check? From what you're looking at, you kind of think that they could be sort of treated intestine mixed with like a tooth or a bone or a cartilage to make almost like an organic barbed wire out of like organs. And it just smells like rotted meat. Like you could almost physically see the disease radiating off of these things from, you know, just where you are. And the smell is like nauseating.
Well, isn't that nice? I kind of motion to the rest of them. Oh, they can't see me. They're behind the door. Never mind. If they come out the door, though, I'm going to motion them that, you know, it's keep quiet. The coast is clear. I don't see anybody.
I'll step on out.
Okay.
I'm heading out to inspect with Ogun.
Okay. So, yeah, the circular pattern, there's four pillars. They're all wrapped in this, like, intestine and barbed wire-looking stuff. And there's a domed ceiling over the top of it.
Should I light this on fire?
I'm going to move right to about there.
Okay.
I'm afraid to get too close to the circle or anything. Looks like a Pokeball.
It does. You can see there's a doorway down here. This hallway kind of turns off over this way. And this hallway kind of turns off a little bit more over here.
And there's a door on the north wall too, right?
Yes, there's a door on the north wall. And to the east, there's a hallway, a short hallway, that has an L shape. And where the angle of the L is, there's a door. And then the L shape is just a hallway that continues into an L shape. You guys are in like a really heavily designed place.
But we don't hear anything. We just a horrible smell.
Yeah, just horrible smells and these weird brambled rot bramble kind of things.
Okay.
Should I light it on fire?
I mean, hold off for a second. If I can ask a question. So you say barbed wire. Is there an obvious like fence structure between the pillars, or are they just wrapped in this?
It's just wrapped. It looks like somebody's just like. Almost as if it's like they're decorating. It doesn't look like it's serving a protectory function. It looks like it's more serving like a talismanic kind of function. It just looks like it'd be dangerous to touch or try to like take with you, or if you fell into it, you'd probably hurt yourself pretty bad, and you don't know what kind of diseases you'd pick up from it.
It looks to me like if you get too close to that circle, they all come out in tendrils, and you know. But that's just me. That's just my imagination.
I don't see anything wrong with that surmise.
Well, we could keep heading down this hallway here that's right in front of us.
Yeah, but all the good loot is always in the dangerous places.
That's true. I'm going to move up to that corner just so I can see from behind, you know, behind the room I was in.
It goes up a little ways and then breaks off into another L-shaped hallway. I can feel the whole party's on edge. I love it.
Yeah. Are we close enough to this circle that we could roll a knowledge arcana to see if we figured out what it was? Or?
Yeah, sure. If you want to. I mean, I think you're probably close enough. You can kind of give it a look and see what you can figure out about it.
I got this, guys.
Roll it. Yeah, with that natural one. No, Ogun rolled a one.
Wow. Rolled a one.
Yeah, you don't know anything. Mativis rolled a 9. Great. Good job. Logos got a 21. That's not bad. Ravy rolled a natural 20. Because of course she did.
Of course she did.
Of course she did.
Couldn't while I was trying to hold my breath.
You think between the three of you, it looks like it's a seasonal pattern. So it looks like it's a calendar of sorts. Very much in like a Mayan style, if you could think like pre-Columbian art. It seems to depict the passage of time. The pattern work and stuff that's on it is very similar to Mativis' new snake armor. So that kind of knot work that's on there. It seems to be carved in that same pattern. Looks like the Yig use it to track the days. It's a solar calendar.
Is there blood on it?
Nope. No blood on it.
The circle has absolutely nothing to do with the icky barbs.
I didn't think it did.
Anyone with a good reflex save / constitution save?
No.
I have a good con save. You want me to stand in the circle?
Not before I give you a resistance check to disease.
Really, I think we could just light it on fire.
That's your answer for everything.
It's a good answer. Sun Tzu says, first rule of war, attack with fire. This is number one. That's what you do first things first.
I don't know. I'd rather your body be protected from the weird bramble flesh second, things.
Second rule, oh shit, get away from the fire.
I think second rule of war has something to do with her food.
Do them dirty in front of their dad.
All right, I'm checking.
All right, I'm going to cast resistance on myself and go stand in the circle.
While he's casting resistance, I'm going to first hit it with fire breath.
Okay. So that'd be 20...
32.
Yeah. Yeah, 32 points of damage. So you just burn. I'm gonna use my little draw tool. Hold on 1 second. Grab my little draw tool. Where's my little draw tool? Come here, little draw tool. There you are. And we're gonna make it orange. So you just burn all of this. And all of this. And it smells disgusting.
Oh god.
Because you just essentially immolated intestine and bone and cartilage. So it smells gross, but you just caught it on fire and burned it, and now it's like smoldering and smelling like burnt, charred, disgusting body.
Well, the good news is I'm not hungry anymore.
Bad news is I am.
It's not in our way anymore.
What a wonderful smell you've discovered.
Listen, it didn't look natural. Ogun!
I just cast resistance on myself. I'm standing in the circle.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well done, man. Well done.
So you go stand in the middle of the calendar, and it's calendar.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. All it is. Yeah.
Well then.
You rapidly age and wither away.
It smells really, really bad. Cause
it just smells really horrible.
I'm going to fire breath again.
Why?
You might need that later.
I have this one. I have many levels of. It's a smaller level, so we're okay. This isn't my top tier.
As long as you do more than 15 points of damage, you'll burn them all both down. Yeah, Jesus Christ. Yeah, so she just evaporates them. Yeah.
No smell?
Yeah, you burn it bad enough with a 34. And that, yeah, it's just, there's no smell. It's just...
Okay. Since I'm over here by the northern door, I'm going to check it for locks, see if it's locked.
It does not appear to be locked.
I don't know. I feel like if we go this way, it was probably blocked off for a reason.
What, to the east?
Yeah.
Well, let's see what's in this door, and then we'll go that way.
Okay.
Unless you have a better plan.
I'm just kind of
trying to... It's a democracy. Everyone has a voice.
We're all lost.
I vote for out.
Yes, I'd vote for airing the room out. I'm going to open the north door.
As you open the door...
Ooh. Well, that'll suck all the smoke out of the room.
It opens to the outside. So you open the door, and you're standing on a... Well, you're seeing... you know, more of that dark stone kind of beach area. There's a very quickly moving 10 foot wide river of ice cold water. Like, it's so cold you can feel it in the air. You know, your breath's immediately fogging as you breathe out here. You kind of take a glance up, and the ceiling is probably, the cave ceiling is probably, you would say, you know, maybe 120 feet above you now, as opposed to the miles that it was at one point. And you can see walls of Dawnstone. It's almost like you're in like a small arboretum of sorts.
No sunlight, no daylight.
No daylight. The only reason you can see what's here is because the Dawnstone walls are illuminating.
Probably still in the Gug City.
Probably in the heart of the Gug City.
In the heart of the Gug City.
Gug City!
Ain't no time.
Go down.
In the heart of town.
Hey, Gug City. I'm just gonna check. Is this door locked?
It is not locked.
It's a great sound effect. Now I don't have to put it in.
my wife just is walking around in the hallway. I don't know if that was really funny.
I'm going to open this door.
Okay. She also sees that to the north there is a door. When you open this door, though, give me a second. There is a great deal I must reveal.
Oh.
200 gugs.
Get gugged. Giggity. Oh, wow.
So the door swings open. Where are we at? A6? Okay. So the door swings open, and you see, you're greeted by the smell of fresh air, but it's also kind of putrid and foul because of this lattice work of these bramble rots, these entrails and bone and teeth that make like a lattice work over this pier. It's a walkway. It's only 5 foot wide. Has no sorts of railings or anything on it. It deposits itself out into a close to 20 foot wide river mouth. As you look to the north, you see that there's this river that's flowing. There's another pier over here. There's a lot of doorways that you can kind of see through the kind of web work, lattice work of this bramble rot. And then when you look to the south, your eyes kind of go wide because you see far below you, stretching out for miles, the massive triangular city made of dawnstone. But to put it into modern perspective, you were high enough up at this point that it would be as if viewing a city from an airplane. You are at the top of a massive waterfall that falls off, and way below you can see the city of Yig, and beyond that you can see this little thin trail of light going across the band of pink into the horizon. And your brain kind of puts together, well, there's the bridge, and there's Flem, and there's the city of Yig. So we're like way the hell up here. So you guys must be like much closer to the surface and overlooking the city of Yig.
I want to come out here and look at this.
Which direction do we see the city and all that in?
South.
South to us. South of us.
It's down there.
Hmm.
The waterfall falls off like right here at the edge of the map.
Oh, okay.
And the water's moving quick. And it's like super cold where you are. Like you could feel it in the air. It's like chillingly cold.
Oh, isn't that we're supposed to, like, what is it, not the teeth of the world? Isn't that where we thought we were going to end up when we were done?
Mm-hmm.
That would make sense if the water were really cold. Maybe we should go upstream.
I definitely think we should probably head north, maybe in these buildings.
Sounds good to me. That would be upstream.
And downstream seems like a really bad idea, by the way.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with Logoth on that one.
The waterfall is so high that it creates the mist, and you can't actually see like how far down it goes. You just know that you couldn't soak that damage.
That being said, it begs the question why there's a pier out here if the only access it has to is falling straight down. Like, why were they doing that? There must be some sort of logical property to it.
Well, if they're slaughtering people in the rooms that we woke up in and sacrificing them, whatever parts they would have left over, they could just throw off this pier and they'd be washed away.
I reckon so.
It's the only theory I could come up with.
It's a good theory.
Yeah.
It's a very good theory.
There's lots of gross stuff everywhere, so let's open door number 3. Maybe we might have something going for us.
A new car!
Lots of gross stuff. It's another room full of lots of gross stuff.
Want to light everything on fire?
So you guys, this room, this is a large room. It's kind of like a plus sign shape. It has 12 stone pillars, each of them thin, but holding up the dome ceiling. Each pillar has a hole through it at the 3-foot mark. The hole like creates a little hollow, and it's about the size of a human hand, and it contains what literally you could only describe as a glass bell. And then all of the corners of this room are piled high, like floor to ceiling, with this bramble rot collection of intestine and like foul smelling, you know, cartilage bone chunks. There is a door to the west, there's a door to the east that is closed, there's a door to the north that is closed, and there is an opening to another chamber to the west that is, you know, there's no doorway or anything barring you from seeing what's in that room if you go around the corner.
I guess I will walk in.
So you're in the room.
Really, really gross in here.
It is really gross in there. It smells horrible.
May I examine the bell?
Yep, go for it.
Okay. I mean, it's a glass bell. Is there anything that stands out about it besides the fact that it's glass?
They all look exactly the same. They all look like they've been hand-blown. The hammers inside the bells, or the clackers, or whatever they're called, all are also made of glass. And they don't seem to be disturbed by any kind of movement as far as wind goes. Because you're moving around, you don't feel like your movement through the room would cause them to chime. It looks like you have to physically make an action to cause them to chime.
They're all shaped like tacos.
Dinner bells, great.
It doesn't look like it's a... Well, hold on. When you walk by here, you'll see more of this room. It doesn't look like it's the same construction as all of the Gug stuff that you're seeing. It looks like it's whatever it was is clearly part of the original design of this place.
So it's been repurposed. Okay, I guess we can only go forward. I'll move into this room.
I'm going to follow Ogun and open this door.
Okay. So you open this door. So this room has... let's see. Okay. Yeah, this is definitely this room. So there's a large 3-foot platform sits against one wall. It's pitted and etched with a multitude of different types of damage, ranging from rust to acid to physical, from blades to blunt objects. You know, the echoes of long past magical spells radiate on this thing. So this table is, you know, 12 foot in length. It's about 3 feet tall. It's just completely chewed up by all manner of casting and physical abuse. And there is a 6-foot length of chain that lay on top of this table. It's not attached to anything. It's a 6-foot length of chain that looks completely undamaged. There is also in this small room a 5-by-5-foot drafting table that has a multitude of drawers in it.
I'm going to check the drafting table.
Okay.
Ogun, you might want to come check out this weird chain.
Okay.
Psychic mind power.
I forgot about that Wonder Twin. Okay. I'll come check out the chain to see what kind of metal it is.
Okay. You gotta put yourself over by the table.
In case the boys wanna.
This is open where the chain is.
Okay. Any other doors?
What's everybody else doing?
I'll go open this door, have a little peek.
Okay.
I will peek down the hallway thusly.
I will stay here. It's kind of in between everybody, I guess. And...
Okay, so let's go through this real quick. Prestidigitation, what are you making?
I'm creating a slightly better scent.
Gotcha.
Than just rotted flesh.
Mativus, you see down into another large room.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some pillars and stuff in it, and then a hallway continues all the way to a doorway through another room or two. Can't quite tell from where you're at. Logoth, when you look down here, you see this connects back to the L shape that you saw earlier. Ravy, you said you were going through the drawers?
Yeah.
Cool. Like I said, you guys are way farther than I thought you'd be, so we're about to get some serious plot shit, all right? When Ravy opens these drawers, she finds blueprints. They are inscribed by a very sure hand on vellum. And the words are written... On these sheets of vellum are written in Draconic, Celestial, Helic, which is the common tongue of Maya, and Abyssal. Each of these sheets of vellum depict 7 chairs. They're statues. They have where the head and torso would be of this robed figure seated in this chair is just an empty void. The Starkraken's knowledge checks off. Planar knowledge. Who has planar knowledge? Drop some planar knowledge.
Wait, is that planes? It's plane, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Each of these chairs seems to be holding a pocket dimension tucked between the beyond, or, you know, what is more traditionally known as, like, the land of the dead, and the cosmic void, which is where the Silver City dwells, but also connects to the abyss. So it's kind of the cosmic void is what links the positive and negative planes, which is where the analog for hell and the analog for heaven for Maya exists. So, you know, city of archons, city of demons and devils, city of archangels. So each of these chairs somehow contains a portal, a pocket dimension, each of their own pocket dimensions. Okay.
I'm sorry. Do the pictures of these chairs look like the one Allegan sent in?
No.
Okay.
The chair looks like the one that you found in the tree.
In the first tree that you guys entered into.
Looks like a sin chair. So, let's see a knowledge history.
Oh, shit.
It seems that these were constructed at some point during the third age of Maya by someone named Kishin Quint. Now, with that knowledge history that you rolled, you will know that Kishin Quint is the great orc queen. She would have been the leader of the largest orc nation in the known history of Maya. It is a nation that spread over half of the Esper jungle, which is the largest continuous jungle slash rainforest in all of Maya. It's massive. She controlled large armies. They were well known for hunting titans and giants. Okay. They were well known for hunting titans and giants. They were essentially considered throughout history as the monster slayers of Maya. Looked upon like we would look upon the Romans as being these great, staunch, battle-hardened warriors. This orc queen and her orc army were these very honed, very precise, very intelligent, combatants who would go out and take down these gigantic beasts that roamed the wilds. They would hunt them with efficiency. They constructed massive stone cities that worked with nature, not counter to it. So they would create these kind of organic stone cities that were able to thrive inside of nature. So they were very known for their craftsmanship and their ability to work stones. Right?
Okay.
Drop me a knowledge religion.
Oh, man. Okay. Might need you in a moment here. Or not.
24 is good. There are spaces connected to the beyond that leak and overlap with the energies of void, positive, and negative energy. These places give birth to the demiplanes, like the demiplane of light, the demiplane of madness known as Rylai. Kadath is a demiplane. The plateaus of Lang are a demiplane. The demiplane of dream, which is known as Nod. The demiplane of dread, which is known in some circles as Ravenloft. These places that are often free of the voices or influences of those who walk and those who watch. This is a place where outer beings and old ones dwell. And in these places, somehow someone was able to construct these demiplanes, these pocket dimensions. They're beyond religious magic. They're beyond, it's a primal magic. It's a place of the spells before spells. It's the place where the first spell was constructed. So it's that's what these things hold, these demiplanes. Now, Laogan, I'd like a blacksmithing check from you, please.
Okay.
Since you're looking at them now.
Did we find one of the Lord of Chains chains?
Nope.
Yeah, it's a low roll. Okay, let me get a spellcraft check. You both can pop that for me. 16 is good.
Don't have spellcraft.
Okay. So then with 16, you're going to get...
Would that be close enough for Knowledge Planes?
Knowledge Planes? No, it's just got to be straight spellcraft.
Okay.
So it seems that once something passes through the portal gate, the opening, the hole, it is not able to exit. Basically, once something goes through the portal gate, the energy that is released when they pass through it combines with the demiplane and creates something called ward guards. These ward guards are what they're referred to in the text. They are conjured from the energy of the demiplane mixed with the energy of whatever's trapped inside. So essentially, when you push something through that opening, the energy from whatever you've pushed through the opening combines with the energy outside of the sin chair to create guardians to keep whatever's inside inside. So it absorbs the energy of whatever is outside of the chair and takes on those properties, combining those properties with whatever has been trapped inside the chair. So keep that, keep that in mind. And as you're looking through it, there are names on each of the chairs. There is a blindfolded, beautiful fae with long, dark hair. Her name is Mistress Z, X-I-E. She is Lust.
Uh-huh.
There is a draconic female with a slash running from above her left eye, across the bridge of her nose, under her right eye. Her name is Lauren, the spell stealer. She is Greed. There is a stone-faced man with a bushy beard. His name is Grimbolg the Warden. He is Sloth. There is a three-eyed female fae with short spiky hair and filed teeth. Her name is Ternell the Whispering Watcher. She is Envy. There is an emaciated fae male with sunken eyes and jagged marks across his lips and chin. His name is Windigo. He is Gluttony. There is a young half-elf with a hawk on his shoulder and a wry grin. His name is Roland. He is Pride. And there is a massive owlbear skull with the eyes of a man. His name is Cry. And he is Wrath.
Weren't these the symbols of the manifestations or whatever we saw at the beginning of the adventure?
We saw them...
Yeah, way back, back in the tree.
All the way back in the tree.
Wow.
The scabbard.
Yeah, the scabbard.
The sword that we didn't take.
I'm assuming the rest of the party is going to be making their way in here as you guys are standing around?
Yeah.
Okay.
If anybody says anything. You know,
I was actually going to walk out of the room to yell at everyone.
Oh yeah, I'll get in there right now.
Quickly, everyone, into the accusing parlor.
And I guess I would share all of this knowledge with everyone. Nydia, when we meet her again, we'll flip her shit.
It's a lot of flip your shit knowledge. Anybody want to throw a spell? So casters. Throw me spellcraft. And Mativus, if Mativus feels the need to throw a spellcraft check, by all means. You're better than the caster! That's fantastic! Mativus rolled better than Logoth, I love it. Ravy, what you kind of figure out is that the whatever is outside of these things with the spellcraft check, whatever's outside, it's absorbed and combined with whatever's inside. If whatever's outside of these is not in a protected place, say a temple made of light or a temple made of darkness, let's say one of these was something was outside of it that was evil or corrupt or madness or whatever, and was able to be absorbed, the energy of a powerful entity combining with the energy of the trapped entity could make a guard wardian intelligent enough to form an alliance with what it was guarding and essentially allow what was inside to escape.
Okay.
So you kind of like, as looking at flipping through the pieces and like putting it all together, you're like, wait a minute. If something is introduced to the exterior that would make a deal with something that was inside, then that would easily let whatever was inside come out.
Yeah, like, you know, killing things under cloths or weird pumpkins. Yeah.
Or talking to someone on another plane and giving them your name and location.
Yeah. Hey, he needs an anchor, okay?
So we're all on board with the mysterious person on the other plane being okay?
I think so.
I'm good with giving Hans an anchor, is all I'm saying.
Okay. So these faces and names that we have, those are the actual... Those are the actual sins. Those were the beings that were pushed through the chairs.
Correct.
And trapped on the other side.
And trapped on the other side.
Correct.
And then whatever was putting them into the chairs then becomes the ward guard.
Right.
And if something outside the chair influences the ward guard, or whatever's outside the chair could influence the ward guard, and thus they might... So, if, okay, I'm... Sorry, I'm reprocessing and catching back up. So if there's good outside, the ward guard would be good. But if it was bad and heinous and, you know, evil, that would affect the ward guard.
My sword's telling us to go to the chain, guys.
Get the chain?
Go to the chain. Doesn't only talk to me in the day, so... Must be important. Unless it is night. Can't really tell with this dawnstone, but let's go check the chain out.
I'll go.
Yeah.
So link the chain. What do you want to do with it?
I'll draw my sword and say, do you want me to touch the chain?
It's not giving you anything.
You guys mind if I roll a spellcraft on this?
Go for it.
My sword wouldn't put me in danger.
I will help you with that.
So I'll touch it if it seems alright to touch it.
Oh,
sorry,
boy.
Raven.
Spellcraft's not going to give you anything.
I'll detect magic on it, please.
Yeah, it's 100% magic. You don't even need to roll. That's some fucking real magic right there.
I trust my sword. And if this does fuck up, I will be swapping you. I touch the chain.
Cool. It wraps around your wrist 3 times and links itself.
Wait a second. What did we say about not touching things?
Oops. Does it hurt?
No, not at all. Doesn't hurt.
Which wrist?
His right wrist.
Where his sword is held?
Yeah,
looks like you got an unbreakable buckler to me.
I trust my sword. Do I feel any different?
You feel like you have +2 to your AC.
Nice.
There's a lot of other shit that comes with it, but you feel like instantaneously you have +2 to your AC.
Loga, check the other drawers before we leave.
Of course. And I do so.
So you start rifling through the drawers, and what you figure out as you get through these things is that if given enough time, maybe an army of craftspeople, if you could find a small army of craftspeople, something that's called primal fire, which seems to be something that can only be constructed planarly, you might be able to create the sin chairs. Like, you might be able to rebuild the jails.
So I'm going to take out the scarf. I'm going to take all of the papers, put them in, put the scarf back around.
Yeah. There you go.
So from the information we've gathered, plus with that scabbard, are we assuming that Pride was let loose from the prison at the top of the tree? Because he's the one with the hawk. And that's what fell out of the scabbard. If I'm remembering correctly, yeah?
It's an interesting assumption. And I feel like, I think if you keep adventuring, you might uncover all sorts of secrets. Tonight, there has been a hell of a lot of reveals, and it has been a great game. And I love you all, and thank you for listening. And I can't wait to come back and play some more, because this is fantastic. And this is where we're going to end the game tonight. Holy crap, guys. What a bunch of cool information.
So basically, we have plans in our hands to just...